Bible Basics, Study 5, The Kingdom of God. 5.3, The Kingdom of God in the Past. The Kingdom of God is the future reward for believers. As such, it is their motivation to live a life dedicated to imitating the example of Christ, something which will involve short-term suffering and discomfort. It is therefore to be expected that all their days they will be consumed by an ever-increasing desire to appreciate and understand the wonders of that future age. It will be the summation of all their spiritual strivings and the full declaration of the God whom they have come to love as their Father. The scriptures abound with details of what the kingdom will be like, and you will find it a lifetime's work to discover just a few of them. One way through which we can come to understand some of the basic principles of this future kingdom is to appreciate that the kingdom of God existed in the past in the form of the nation of Israel. This kingdom is to be re-established at Christ's return. Much of the Bible gives us information concerning the nation of Israel in order that we can understand, in broad outline, how God's future kingdom will be organized. God is frequently described as the King of Israel. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Compare Isaiah chapter 41, verse 27. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15. Psalm 48, verse 2. Psalm 89, verse 18. Psalm 149, verse 2. It follows that the people of Israel were his kingdom. They began to be God's kingdom through entering into a covenant with him at Mount Sinai, shortly after they had escaped from Egypt through the Red Sea. In response to their willingness to keep this covenant, they would be unto God a kingdom and an holy nation. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Thus, when Israel went out of Egypt, Israel was his dominion or kingdom. Psalm 114, verses 1 and 2. After entering into this agreement, Israel travelled through the wilderness of Sinai and settled down in the promised land of Canaan. As God was their king, they were ruled over by judges, for example, Gideon and Samson, rather than kings. These judges were not kings, but divinely guided administrators who governed certain parts of the country rather than ruling over the whole land. They were often raised up by God for specific purposes, for example, to lead Israel to repentance and deliver them from their enemies. When the Israelites asked Judge Gideon to be their king, he replied, "I will not rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Judges chapter 8, verse 23. The last judge was Samuel. In his time, the Israelites asked for a human king in order to be like the nations around them. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Throughout history, God's true people have been tempted to underestimate the closeness of their relationship to God and to sacrifice this for an appearance of similarity to the world around them. These temptations are most acute in our present world. God lamented to Samuel, "They have rejected me that I should not reign over them." 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 7. However, God granted them kings, beginning with wicked Saul. After him came righteous David, and a whole line of kings descended from him. The more spiritually minded kings realized that Israel was still God's kingdom, even though they had rejected his kingship. They therefore recognized that they were ruling Israel on God's behalf rather than in their own right. Understanding this principle enables us to make sense of the description of Solomon, David's son, reigning on God's throne to be king for the Lord your God. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 8, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 5, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 23. Solomon's reign of great peace and prosperity pointed forward to, or was typical of, the future kingdom of God. This is why it is emphasized that he was king over Israel on God's behalf, as Jesus will also sit on God's throne as king of Israel for God. Matthew chapter 27, verses 37 and 42. John chapter 1, verse 49. John chapter 12, verse 13. Many of the righteous kings recorded in the Old Testament enjoyed reigns which were typical of Christ's future kingdom. Thus, as Hezekiah and Solomon received presents and tribute from the surrounding nations, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12, and saw the land of Israel blessed with astounding fertility and prosperity, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 5 to 15, Isaiah chapter 37, verse 30. So in Christ's worldwide kingdom, the same things will be seen on a far greater scale. Marriage. Despite Solomon's good start, whilst still quite young, he made mistakes regarding his marital relationships, which progressively sapped his spiritual strength as he grew older. King Solomon loved many strange women, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in to you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Wherefore the Lord said, "I will surely rend the kingdom from you." 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Solomon's slide into apostasy was a lifelong process. His relationships with women who did not share his knowledge of Israel's God led him to have a sympathy towards their false gods. His love for his wives meant that he no longer saw these gods as the spiritual perversions of the true God, which they were. As time went on, his heart was no longer in the worship of Israel's God. His heart was not perfect. That is, his conscience no longer pricked him at worshipping fake gods. His lack of wholehearted commitment to the true God was evil in the sight of the Lord, resulting in God breaking off his relationship with Solomon. Israel were told time and again not to marry the women of the surrounding world. Exodus chapter 34, verses 12 to 16. Joshua chapter 23, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3. By baptism into Christ, we become spiritual Israel. If we are single, we should only marry within spiritual Israel in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. That is, other baptized believers in Christ. If we are already married at the time of our baptism, we should not separate from our partners. Our marital relationship is sanctified by reasons of our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 14. consciously choosing to marry those who do not know the true God will, in the long term, lead to our apostasy. Solomon evidently failed to appreciate the strength of God's warning about such wives. Surely they will turn away your heart. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 2. Exodus chapter 34, verse 16. Only an extraordinary level of self-control and intensity of repentance can make us exceptions to this rule. The judgment of God. As a result of Solomon's apostasy, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, ruled over the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and half the tribe of Manasseh, whilst Jeroboam ruled over the other 10 tribes. This 10-tribe kingdom was called Israel, or Ephraim, whilst the 2 tribes were called Judah. The people of all these tribes, for the most part, followed Solomon's bad example. They claimed to believe in the true God, whilst at the same time worshipping the idols of the surrounding nations. Time and again, God pleaded with them, through the prophets, to repent, but to no avail. Because of this, he punished them by driving them out of the kingdom of Israel into the lands of their enemies. This was through the Assyrians and Babylonians invading Israel and taking them away captive. Many years did you, God, forbear them and testified against them by your spirit, word, in your prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the people of the surrounding lands. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. The 10-tribe kingdom of Israel had no good kings at all. Jeroboam, Ahab, Jehoahaz, etc. are all recorded in the book of Kings as idol worshippers. Their last king was Hoshea, during whose reign Israel was defeated by Assyria and the 10 tribes carried into captivity. 2 Kings chapter 17. From this they never returned. The 2-tribe kingdom of Judah had some good kings, for example Hezekiah and Josiah, although the majority were evil. Due to the people's repeated sins, God overturned Judah as his kingdom in the reign of their last king, Zedekiah. This was caused by their being invaded by the Babylonians, who took them captive to Babylon. 2 Kings chapter 25. They remained in Babylon for 70 years, after which some returned to Israel under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. They never again had their own king, being ruled by the Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans. Jesus was born during the period of Roman rulership. Due to Israel's rejection of Jesus, the Romans invaded them in AD 70 and scattered them worldwide. Only in the past 100 years have they started to return, thus heralding the return of Christ. Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 25 to 27, prophesied this ending of God's kingdom as seen in the nation of Israel. You profane wicked prince of Israel, that is Zedekiah, whose day is come. Thus says the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. That is, Zedekiah would cease to be king. This shall not be the same. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Passage after passage in the prophets lament the ending of God's kingdom. Hosea chapter 10, verse 3. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 21. Daniel chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. The triple overturning of Ezekiel 21, verses 25 to 27, refers to the three invasions made by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The watchful student will see in these verses another example of how the kingdom of God and its king can be treated as parallel. Zedekiah's overthrow was that of God's kingdom. See section 5.2. Thus God's kingdom, as it was in the nation of Israel, ended. I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. It shall be no more until carries the implication that the kingdom would revive when he come whose right it is, and God will give it him. God will give Jesus the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, at Christ's return. This, therefore, is when the promise of the kingdom's restoration will be fulfilled. Restoration of Israel. There is a tremendous theme throughout the Old Testament prophets of the restoration of God's kingdom on Messiah's return. Christ's disciples were well tuned into this. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is, would Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 27 be fulfilled now? Jesus replied by saying that the exact time of his second coming they would never know, although the angels immediately afterwards assured them that he would indeed return at some point. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. The restoration of the kingdom of God, Israel, will therefore be at the second coming. Thus Peter preached that God would send Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive, that is, he must remain there, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The second coming will bring about the re-establishment of God's kingdom as a restoration of the old kingdom of Israel. The restoration of God's kingdom is truly the theme of all God's holy prophets. In mercy shall the throne be established, and he, Jesus, shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David at the second coming. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. Judging and hasting righteousness. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 5. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, that is, David's throne, of Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up it his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. The last phrase is clearly the language of restoration. There, Israel's children, also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 20. The Lord shall choose Jerusalem again. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 12. Making it the capital of his worldwide kingdom. Compare Psalm 48, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. The former dominion, or kingdom, is to return to Jerusalem. Micah chapter 4, verse 8, Revised Version. As God was in the land of Israel in their past, so when the kingdom is re-established, it will again be known that the Lord is there. Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 9. Compare chapter 48, verse 35. I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. Again there shall be heard in this place the voice of joy, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, again in this place, Jerusalem, shall be an habitation of shepherds, the flocks shall pass again. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 7 to 13. The return of Christ to establish this kingdom is truly the hope of Israel, to which we must become related by baptism.